go.
Rodeo Rock Radio time. Gus Kronberg right here. Benny Paulson right here, saddled up, ready to ride one more time. It is almost July. It's almost Cowboy Christmas, Gus. How do you feel about that?
Man, I'm excited. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do and a lot to see. So
you ain't no cowboy if you ain't excited for Cowboy Christmas.
Oh, it's the best time of the year. And God bless America that we're even able to have one this year.
No doubt. You know, it's a little bit limited this year, but at least we got rodeos, and we are going to talk about that in a little bit of detail in our Western Edge Rodeo Report. Such a big program today. Oh, we got an awesome guest we're going to have on. Who's it going to be?
It's the one and only Chuck Swisher, the 2014 NFR bullfighter. He's a super cool dude. He's got a lot going on other than just bullfighting. So
from Oklahoma, he's got a Swisher Beef Company where he processes and sells his own beef.
That's right.
Which is right into the wheelhouse of what we've been talking about on Rodeo Rock Radio since pretty much the beginning of Rodeo Rock Radio.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's been fighting all the big rodeos this year. Super cool guy. And we're going to catch up with him. It's going to be a good conversation with Chuck. We're going to breeze through the T2 Ranch update. We'll do a little update. And then we're going to get to the Western Edge Rodeo Report. We're going to breeze through that because I can't wait to get Chuck on the phone. This week's episode is brought to you by none other than some 4th of July rodeos around here. Mandan Rodeo Days, July 2nd. 3rd and 4th in Mandan, North Dakota, one of the best rodeos over Cowboy Christmas. Yours truly, Breaking 8 Band, is doing a free concert on the 2nd, the first night before the rodeo, 6 o'clock. If you are going to the rodeo, show up at 6. If you're not going to the rodeo, you should definitely go to the rodeo. Come see the band. Come see our first concert playing our new album. And the rodeo is going to be off the hook. Gus is going to run down some of the contestants here shortly. Also, another collaborative partner sponsorship, Kildare Mountain Roundup Rodeo in Kildare, North Dakota. July 3rd and 4th, Calcutta starts at 5:30. Just an amazing rodeo. All right, man. What do you think, Gus? Let's do a 20-second T2 Ranch update. What do you got?
T2 Ranch update. Well, I guess, for today. First of all, let's talk about the rain shower we're getting in. Right now,
we got more rain last night and today than we've had moisture since January 1st.
It's been crazy. There was borderline a tornado by the house last night. If you looked at my Snapchat, the clouds were spinning. It was spooky. It started raining and did some serious raining all night. Thunder and lightning. It was pretty epic.
Literally, we were having the driest year on record.
Yeah.
Drier than the Dust Bowl, drier than any time. I saw just the other day, we had less than 2.5 inches of moisture. That's total moisture, snow and everything since January. Well, we had less than 2.5 inches. Tomorrow's July 1st, if you're wondering, whenever you listen to this. And literally, we had almost 3 inches of rain here. Some people over 3 inches. So we have doubled our annual rainfall and moisture as of right now, which is pretty fantastic. We needed it. We were in drought conditions, and praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
And yours truly got a whole bunch of hay put up. Didn't get any rained on. I mean, got some great quality hay put up, got a bunch of bales made, got some to go yet, but man, we just getting things done. It's been good. Good.
We tried turning bulls out to the cows here this morning. Got rained out of that, so we're doing the podcast now instead.
We're making maximum efficient use of our time.
Trying to.
So other than turning bulls out, rotational grazing, Justin moved one of the bunches of cows this morning all by himself, which we'll hear about that.
I'm sure.
And
he didn't want to get me out of bed, which I'm not an early riser, but I mean, I would have got up to do some cowboy stuff.
I think he just wanted the challenge.
Yeah.
And he successfully orchestrated it and had a neighbor's bull in. He even got the neighbor's bull sorted off, which helps that the neighbors don't have horses. So as soon as they seen a horse, Gus came and we got him out of here once before. He just scatters.
He's kind of a grizzly bear looking thing. He's kind of a gnarly looking Red Angus bull.
He's not Red Angus. He's Tarentaise or Gelby or something. Got some frame to him. That's where he's getting that.
Sure.
Good bull, though. Good bull. Neighbors felt bad. I said, man, a couple of them cows in my herd are like their former supermodels. I think one was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Oh.
Earlier on. So, I mean, you can't blame the guy for jumping in. I mean, these cows are, there's a couple of them that are pretty hot.
Good looking.
Yeah, they're really pretty, really pretty cows. So, you know, we got her handled.
Yeah.
All is good. All is good.
And then I guess, anything else? We got horses going home, finishing up some horses for a couple clients. But other than that, it's just been haying.
We're kind of settled into that. The cows are doing the work themselves, and that is awesome. So, that is a T2 Ranch update. There's not much else you need to know about that.
No, we're gonna get into the Swisher Beef Co. update.
Yes.
Before too long, so we'll get through the rodeo report, and then we'll go on and get Chuck on the phone here.
Yeah, I'm sure the conversation with that will kind of transition back and forth between stuff that's happening here and with him, and that'll kind of encompass our ag report, a little bit more T2 Ranch report. So get on with the Western Edge Rodeo Report.
For sure, and we neglected it last week here, so we better talk about the PBR.
Yes.
But they're still rocking and rolling with those team events, and those are super cool. If you haven't checked them out, they're on Ride Pass, and I think they're live somewhere, but go check them out. They're super cool to watch.
They're at South Point. Is where they were.
Yeah, yeah.
In a couple of weeks, they're moving the playoffs, I think, to Sioux Falls.
To Sioux Falls. They're at the Denny Sanford Center. Yeah.
I want
to
go.
That's going to be cool.
Since one of our concerts got canceled, if we don't reschedule some, I might be going down there.
That'd be awesome.
Would be awesome.
And I guess I'll just buzz through the top five here in the PBR World Standings. Number one, Jose Vitor Lemmy.
Jose.
Whatever. I mean, it looks like Jose.
Jose Vitor Lemmy.
Number two in the world, Jess Lockwood. He's been sidelined with an injury I don't think he's riding yet, is he?
It's pronounced Jess.
That's what I said.
And yes. He's not riding yet.
Yes, Lockwood.
Yes. Yes, Lockwood. He'll be back. He's still fourth in the world. What is he?
Third or second.
He's went to, what, three events or something? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, when you ride that good, I guess.
Jose, well, he got hurt a little too, but he is so, so good.
And then number three is, I can't pronounce, Joe?
Oh, boy. Well, it's actually, I'm pretty sure, because I've been to Brazil, Arbobos, twice in Brazil. I've been there a couple other times.
At that big bull riding?
No, I didn't get to go to Bahetos. I went, this is back in the day. The bull riders only. They had some matchups. Brazil. I got to ride in Brasilia, and Goiânia was the two towns I went to, and it was probably two of the best experiences of my life. It was awesome.
That is super cool.
But
anyway, how do you pronounce his name?
So I'm pretty sure it would be pronounced Jean, like it's J O A O, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure in Portuguese it's pronounced Jean, so it's like John, basically.
Yeah.
But everybody and all the gringos say Joao.
Ricardo Vieira.
For these purposes, it's Joao Ricardo Vieira, or as Justin McBride says, JR. If you're a really dumb bull rider like McBride is, then you just abbreviate.
Sure.
Just kidding. Max, my hero, he's not dumb.
Anyway, he's number three in the world. Number four, Dalen Swearingen.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. And number five is Kaiki Pacheco.
Hey, nice job pronouncing that one properly. Good job.
Yeah.
Are you half Portuguese?
No, I'm German.
German, right. Close.
Kind of the other end of the spectrum.
Thanks for including the PBR in the rodeo report.
Yeah, for
very
sure.
Important. That's awesome. We'll work on pronunciations next week.
Yeah, I mean, we can work on it. I should get, what's the program that you buy to learn like a different language?
Well, there's numerous. I know the one you're talking about. I can't remember it either now. They're not a sponsor, so we can't say the name.
No, I guess
anyways.
We can't, yeah.
No free,
no shameless
no free
plugs.
Rides on Rodeo Rock Radio.
Anyway, getting into the PRCA here, it is Cowboy Christmas is upon us. It's set to start up this week. Most guys are probably on the road headed to their first couple here. I know Prescott started. Did you see last night there was like an 18-year-old kid won the round in Prescott and got on a bucker?
In the bull run?
Yeah.
I fell asleep.
Yeah. He won,
couldn't make it.
Won the round, and this dude, he's like in high school still or just graduated. But
what was his name?
Thanks for putting me on the spot. I don't know, but
we'll find out. We'll see more of them
for sure,
most likely.
But like looking, I mean, obviously we're from North Dakota, so we'll just kind of run through the 4th of July, the Cowboy Christmas that most guys are used to around here. You got rodeos like Mandan, Belle Fouche, Mobridge, Cody, Wyoming, Killdeer, and Roundup Montana. That's kind of the Midwest run I think a lot of guys are looking forward to.
It's a little bit slimmer pickings than most years, but at least they got some rodeos to go to.
Yeah, for dang sure.
I'm excited to see them.
Obviously we got to plug Mandan Rodeo because we're working one-on-one with them.
Hooked Up Enterprises is hired to help with some PR and really doing a lot of work there. Yeah. Breaking 8 band, my band is playing there. So yeah, give us a little more info there.
And I talked about it earlier, but they have 930 entries, 1,062 competitors total within the team rope and head and healing. But they got 66 bareback riders. It's crazy. They got, let's see here. All the top 20 in the world are going to be there. In the saddle bronc riding, 13 of the top 20. In the bull riding, 17 of the top 20. So it's basically going to be a little NFR in Mandan this year, and I would assume pretty much at every other pro rodeo in the area.
That's going to be awesome. And Mandan isn't going to be on the Cowboy Channel. It's one of the only ones that isn't televised, I believe. But so you've got to be there to see it.
Yeah, and I'm going to run around and shoot a bunch of footage too. So.
Okay, we'll get some highlights.
Yeah, anyway.
Good deal.
We'll see.
It's going to be awesome.
We'll see a lot of good things coming out of Mandan. To round it out, I guess we'll run through the world standings quick. In the PRCA and the all-around, Clay Smith still sitting number one. Tim O'Connell in the bareback riding. Matt Reeves in the steer wrestling. A lot of these really haven't changed a whole lot. Luke Brown on the heading. Joseph Harrison in the healing. Wyatt Casper, no surprise, in the bronc riding. Shad Mayfield, again, no surprise in the tie-down roping.
I did see Shad Mayfield run his calf in Prescott last night before I fell asleep. He was like one of the last. I don't know why I was so tired, because I've been working too hard, obviously.
Yeah.
But, wow, that guy, he just...
He's fast.
He ropes a calf, and he's on the ground. Like, you can barely see him get off his horse.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Just super athletic and smooth. And
super technical in his ways.
It's fun to watch, man. Yeah. It's fun to watch. Even if you're not a calf roping fan, just the athleticism. To see his horse work so good and then just so catty. It's really cool.
He's got an entire career in front of him yet. Like, he's just
He was the national started. High school champion last summer.
Yeah.
Made the national finals rodeo this last winter. And now he's winning the world by $100,000.
Yeah, it's insane.
Where do you go?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it's just how many world champions you win.
Yeah, just start counting them.
It's gonna be exciting.
Anyway, so in the steer roping, Trevor Brazil. In the bull riding, Sage Kimsey, number one still. In the barrel racing, Shelly Morgan. And in the breakaway, Larry D. Guy still sitting on top.
Thank you for the breakaway report. Thank you for the Western Edge Rodeo part. Anything else?
Man, that should do. I think that's it. I think we're going to play a song here and get old Chuck on the phone.
Chuck Swisher, professional bullfighter, coming up right after a song written by a bullfighter, Mr. Cody Kerr, who is one of Gus Kronberg's bullfighting partners. Dabbles as a songwriter as well, plays guitar. He wrote this song. Me and my band Breaking 8 picked it up, recorded it. Here it is, still around. Right back with Chuck Swisher.
Stubborn. think about you and how I let you down. I try to call you, but you don't pick up the phone. I didn't think that leaving would keep me this alone.
Back on Rodeo Rock Radio, Chuck Swisher joins us on the phone. Chuck's from Dover, Oklahoma. He is en route to a rodeo. Chuck, are you with us? How are you doing?
Yeah, good, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we're just excited to have the man, NFR bullfighter in 2014, professional bullfighter. I feel like watching the winter rodeos on the Cowboy Channel, I felt like it was the Chuck Swisher show. It was cool.
Yeah, the winter treated us a lot better than the summer has this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Where are you headed right now?
We are on our way to Oakley, Utah for the 4th of July rodeo. Everything else got canceled this month, and my good buddy Nathan Harp had surgery on his hip, and I'm filling in for him here in Oakley, so thankfully the have at least one rodeo this July.
No doubt. Cowboy Christmas. So does that take you all the way through the 4th?
Yeah. So we start there Thursday, and then we'll finish up the 4th Saturday night, and then we get to go home for the rest of July. We've been out on the road for 3 or 4 weeks by now, but this year is a little different, obviously, and we'll work this rodeo and go home for a bit, then start back in August, hopefully.
Dang.
For sure. Chuck, how is, obviously all these rodeos are canceled because of COVID, but obviously that started for you guys down in Houston. How is that kind of taking its toll on guys like you that do this for a living?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously been a big eye opener. And I think it's kind of a good eye opener in a way for some guys, just because a lot of rodeo guys, you know, they strictly rely on rodeo, and now it's kind of like we're all hurt and nobody gets to rodeo in a way because there's not anything going on. So it's a eye opener for sure to those guys to realize that, you know, rodeo isn't a forever thing. It can be taken away in an instant, whether it's enormous virus, you know, obviously the whole world's suffering, but rodeo for sure, or if it's just a regular old injury, you know, if you're not in the arena fighting bulls, riding bulls, doing whatever, you're not making any money. So you got to be thinking about the plan B. And
well,
I guess
said,
this is a good time to think about it.
I'm excited to talk more, and we'll get into this later, but I'm excited to talk more about Swisher Beef Company, which is your other way, apparently, of making money and another passion, I'm assuming. But we'll get into that. Let's stay on the rodeo. Like I said, Chuck was in all the winter rodeos, it seemed like. Houston, talk about Houston. That got canceled in the middle of it. How did that end up for you?
Yeah, so Houston, it's a phenomenal rodeo. And, man, it was a crazy day. We woke up that morning, or whenever we got to Houston, we were talking to the head guy there, and I remember him saying something, as long as coronavirus stays away, we're going to be good. And, you know, we just kind of laughed and shrugged it off and didn't think nothing of it. And finished the 8th performance, woke up the 9th day, and started getting messages from back home, and everyone back home, you know, they feel like they know more about rodeo than you do. And they're like, hey, I heard Houston got canceled and heard you guys are coming home. And I was like, I haven't heard nothing. I think you guys are wrong. I said, we're sitting here at Cowboy Village making lunch. All the contestants are here. Our boss hasn't called, you know, nothing's changed for us. I was like, you guys just need to get back on Facebook and keep listening to all the crap that's going around. And And then sure enough, I got on Facebook and I seen where the Houston Mayor comes on. And standing next to the Houston Mayor was Rodeo Houston's head guy. And I was like, huh, maybe I better tune into this. And sure enough, they said with everything that's going on, they regretted to inform us that the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo has been canceled. And I was like, wait, what? and really, like, it took me probably 2 weeks even to actually believe that it all happened. Like, we drove home the next day, you know, it was one of those deals where it's like, well, if the world's going to end, I'd rather be at my house whenever it ends than be in Houston, Texas. So we drove home the next day, and the whole time I'm like, man, like, I'm going to wake up in a little bit, and, you know, we're going to go back to the arena and fight bulls at the NRG Stadium here in Houston. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I was like, holy crap, like, that actually happened. You know, they actually canceled Rodeo Houston, and Austin followed suit, you know. And of course, it does suck. One of the biggest rodeos of the year gets canceled midway through. But my wife and I, we got to talking, and even some buddies, you know, Tuckness and everybody. I told them, I said, yeah, it sucks that we can't work, but say we did have the rodeo and one person died from getting the virus because of the rodeo. I was like, man, that's not worth any check or any rodeo in the world. You know, I would rather be safe than sorry. And if we can save one life through all of it, then it's going to be totally worth it. You know, and that would be something that would hang over my head for a long time, and I would feel very terrible about it. But thankfully, I guess they kind of got it shut down whenever they did, and we're all right.
Such a confusing deal.
Yeah, it's pretty wild thing. And it was funny, whenever we went to get our gear bags and stuff from the locker room, we were walking into the building and all these people were carrying panels out and carrying stuff out, and we're like, holy smokes, like, this is really happening, you know.
Yeah. End of the world,
it was pretty wild. Something that we'll be able to tell our great grandkids in the future and have a heck of a story.
Ben, so, have you ever been fired before? is that what that was, basically?
That was actually exactly what it felt like. I don't know if I've ever actually been fired. I've been pretty close to being fired a time or two, but like, we were walking in, we look at each other, and I was like, well, I guess this is kind of what it's like to, like, be fired, you know. Yeah. Like, they're making us come get our stuff and they're making us leave. So I was like, well, this might be the you guys didn't have to cancel all the rodeo, just about our boss lady, she got the laugh, and she's like, no, wish that was the case. But
so are you having to wear masks at Oakley or any other places? What's going on with that?
So we've had, since Houston canceled, we did the Houston finisher in Fort Worth. And I guess there's something in the ground rules or something where bullfighters don't have to wear a mask, I guess. It's obviously optional, but they want you to wear a mask if you're not in the arena competing.
Mm-hmm.
But once you are in the arena competing, you can pull it off, but then they want you to put it back on. Then we went to Lawton, Oklahoma, and them good old Okies, you know, they never missed a beat.
Yeah.
It seemed like the world was fine, and then we went to Woodward, Oklahoma, and the biggest crowd I've ever seen in Woodward, and acted like nothing was wrong there either. So
what the heck?
And yeah, I know Oakley, they usually sell out their rodeo like within like 6 months of the rodeo. You know, they four performances, and this year they cut it down to three, and they're doing a lottery selection for tickets this year. So they're only going to be able to let 1,000 people in per night. And, obviously the social distance or whatever. And, but for me, I don't care if there's 100,000 or none, you know, like I just want to be in the arena fighting bulls and doing what we do.
And what a great time for the Cowboy Channel to be stepping up and televising almost all these rodeos. So now we can get that out to the world, even though they're not able to be there, but now we can watch Chuck Swisher on TV all the time. We can still tell the story and have rodeos out there. That's good timing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be huge for athletes. You know, like, even our sponsors have reached out and said, hey, like, we're seeing you on TV. Obviously that's more than what we've seen in the past, so like, this is nice. Going to be good, you know, like, so that'd be, I mean, more money rolling in through sponsors nationwide, you know, not just for bullfighters, but contestants and rodeos and everywhere in between. So I think it's going to be actually better for rodeo in the long run.
Just was, more exposure, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty cool. I turned into Woodward on the Cowboy Channel there a couple nights, and I saw those sharp looking hooked up jerseys on Chuck and Nate, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, dang right. You know, Woodward's it's a small Oklahoma town too, so that was pretty groundbreaking for them to be able to come in, put on such a great rodeo, have such a huge success, and like they said they probably made more money this year than they have in the past few years, just because people have been so cooped up lately that they've been wanting to get out.
Nice.
So yeah, it was. Yeah, they've been scratching to do something, so it was perfect timing for Woodward.
So for our listeners that don't know, Hooked Up Enterprises supplies what almost all the bullfighters.
I mean, their jerseys. A lot of them, the good ones.
Yeah, the cool ones. If you want to be cool, get your Hooked Up jerseys.
Well, it's dang funny. Man. Like we do a lot, so we make jerseys for these guys, and we also make music videos for cool bands. You know,
for
so
sure.
There's a lot of stuff we're able to do between, you know, between Brent and I. We're pretty fortunate that we've been able to stay busy and stay working even through all that COVID stuff too. So
well, I know some of these bands, and I know some of these bullfighters, and I'm not saying Chuck because I don't know Chuck real well. But you almost could say that you take bands and bullfighters that aren't cool
mm-hmm.
and make them cool.
Cooler.
Make them cool.
Cooler. All right. Well said.
Look
well
good. Said. Feel good.
That's right.
Cooler.
Fight good.
That's it.
Speaking of timing, let's switch gears. Can we switch gears over to the other side, guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
So you're talking about the timing of the COVID stuff and, you know, not being able to rodeo, but Lawton's still making more money. Tell us a little bit about Swisher Beef Company. Well, just give us a little overview quick, and then we'll talk about how everything's affecting it and what you got going on.
Yeah, so Swisher Beef Co., it actually didn't start till about a year ago, but 2 years ago, actually, I kind of put the business in play, and we just didn't name it till last year. But my family, we've always butchered stuff for ourselves, you know, to feed the family, and it was coming to the point in time where it was time for me to butcher one to feed myself. And I was like, well, you know, let's get a steer in the pen and we'll feed him out and go from there. So we did that, got to church one Sunday. We were holding the door, and one of the guys that was holding the other door, he got to talk about how his family's going to get a bottle calf. They're going to bottle feed it and turn it to a butcher steer. And way down the road, you know, they'll butcher it. And I was like, well, you know, it's going to take you quite a while to start from a baby to a finished steer. I said, why don't I just get a big steer? We'll throw it in the pen with mine. And that way the steers can have buddies. We'll feed them out together and go from there. And he's like, oh, dude, that'd help us a lot. You know, then the kids wouldn't get so attached to the calf and we could eat it without crying and everything.
Yep, you got to watch that.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, you know, maybe I should just kind of put a filler out there and see if other people would buy some beef like this, you know. And this was a few years ago, and I put it on Facebook thinking that I could maybe sell two or three or something like that, you know. And dude, it actually blew up. And there was nights where I would turn my phone off whenever I went to bed, just because usually throughout the night my phone would ring and vibrate all night long because people are wanting beef. So I'd just turn it off at night and wake up in the morning, turn it back on and start calling people back. And so it blew up, and it got really good, and it's still really good.
So just to interject for any listeners that might not be aware of the current state of the beef industry, with the pandemic hitting, the major packing facilities were pretty much shut down, and for a while you couldn't even get beef in stores. You didn't know where it comes from. Right now the packers are in litigation. We can't really trust the packers. There's accusations of the major packers taking advantage of producers. And so for the timing of a guy to have his own outlet for his own raised beef, it's impeccable. Like, it's perfect. I'm so happy for you about that. That's cool, and that's got to be working out great.
It hit right at the right time, you know. And that's what we had a lot of customers come out to the ranch, and they're like, Chuck, America's running out of beef, and we're scared about what's going to happen. I always told them, I said, it's not that we're running out of beef. It's just we're running out of places to butcher the beef. I said, every farmer's still having all of his calves every year. Every rancher, you know, they're still calving every year. Mm-hmm. So we're not running out of actual animals. We're just running out of people who can actually cut them up and processing, everything like that. And, but yeah, for Swisher Beef Co., it was huge for us. You know, it actually helped us out a lot. Then big packing plants shut down, and then everything that's been on the news, whether real or fake or what, you know, it's actually turned out to be really, really good for us in a way that people realize that they don't have to go to Walmart to buy beef or any grocery store to buy beef. You know, they realize that they can go to any local farmer in whatever state or town that they live in, and more than likely that farmer can feed the beef out for them and feed their family. And then it's all supporting local, you know, so it feels better. And if there's just something about it that gives you the good feeling that whenever you go buy from somebody local, you know exactly what you're getting, you know where it's coming from and all that. So, you know, for Swisher Beef, it's been a heck of a year for Swisher Beef. I'll tell you that.
Well, you make it sound real easy, but it's not that easy, because not just any rancher. And I mean, I'm looking at Gus because I want him to start processing our beef right here. But it's not that easy to get a beef processed anywhere. And
yeah,
for you guys to be able to do that on your ranch is such a huge value added, and it's inspirational. So my question is, how many are you processing, and what's your plans for the future? Where are you going to go from here?
So for us, we don't actually process our beef ourselves. There's a butcher that's 5 miles
from us. Okay.
A 4-man and 3-woman crew. So gotcha. It's a small butcher. They butcher 12 head a week. And it was funny, one day I went in there, it might have been maybe March, April-ish, and they had dates from August until the rest of the year. And I was like, well, I'll just go ahead and book a couple extras. Then the next day I went in, or 2 days later, I went back in, and they were booking until like December, January of 2021. And I was like, holy smokes, like this is getting crazy. So I sat down with the butcher and I was like, you know, I don't want to book 100 dates and not be able to fill them. You know, I want to kind of stay true to my word, even though that happens to butchers all the time. But like for me, I don't know, it's just something about saying I'm going to have a steer come then and I want to do that. So they're like, Chuck, you know, if you have to cancel it, it's really not going to hurt us, just because there's going to be such a waiting list that we'll feel it like within a couple minutes. So it's not going to be a bad deal. So they're like, butcher as many or book as many as you need, and then we'll go from there. So I was like, all right. So thankfully we got quite a few of them booked. And so we've got a pen full of steers right now. And actually whenever we get home, we're going to have to double that size for our next set, 'cause we're already selling beef for December, January, February of next year. And it's crazy. We've got butcher banks for steers that aren't even born yet.
Wow.
Just to have them and just to protect that space.
So you kind of got a partnership and an agreement with your local butcher, and that's working out pretty good.
Yeah, it's been really good. Obviously, it's kind of first come first serve on the schedule book, but thankfully we got in there at an early enough time, and we got a bunch of them booked up. So
yeah, and obviously that facility is USDA inspected and signed off and all that, so everything is good to go.
Yep.
Very cool. Yes, very sir. Cool.
Man, Benny, yes, I don't know if you were creeping on Chuck's page or not, but he'll put out some cuts of beef every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're big cuts, man. They look awesome.
And you're raising your own calves there, right?
Yeah, so we try to raise all of them, but as big as it has gotten lately, we've had to turn around and buy some. So instead of just trying to go to the sale barn and buy the cheapest thing that comes across the board, we're like our whole goal is to have quality. You know, we want to sell a bunch, but also we want to sell the best. So we've got kind of a circle of ranches around us that has come in and handpick steers off of their ranch. And we can go and handpick them steers, buy them straight from the ranch, and then put them straight on ours and start feeding them. And that way it's all local, you know, and we know exactly what we're getting instead of going and buying the three-legged steer that's half the price as usual, you know, just so we can make more money. That's not really what Swisher Beef is about. Swisher Beef is about the integrity and the quality of our product, and we're going to stand behind it 100%. We have the Swisher Beef guarantee is what I like to call it. So if they don't like it, they can bring it back, and we'll buy it right back from them.
Reputation is everything in this business and in most businesses, I guess.
That's
Yep, exactly. That's what I told my wife whenever we named the company Swisher or Swisher Beef Co. I said Swisher has been in my blood my entire life, you know. So that's something that's no matter what, that's going to be here forever. So I want to protect that name as much as we can, and obviously have the best quality and best relationships with our customers as possible. Just so whenever people hear the name Swisher, it's a recognizable brand, and it's a brand that they can trust.
And I think it's more timing. In my viewpoint, everybody's going to be trying to do this now, and that's why you're seeing all the facilities booked out for a year and a half or whatever, because everybody's going to be doing this. So now Swisher Beef has been doing it. You have the reputation, so now you still have that value added.
Yep, exactly. And that's our deal, too, is there's been so many people who have sprung up and realized that they'd kind of been getting screwed over at the market from the packers or from whoever, you know, and they're like, man, let's just cut out the middle, man, and let's do our own deal. And we've had a ton of ranches reach out to us and ask for help and everything. And my whole deal is we're not trying to feed the entire state of Oklahoma or the entire country of the U.S. We're trying to get all of our locals fed. So that means there's going to be so many other people that need to be fed. There's going to be so many mouths in the state of Oklahoma that need beef. And so we're willing to help anybody and whoever to get their kind of their business up and rolling, just because we don't see other farmers and ranchers who are doing what we're doing as competition. We see it as something good, just because the more local you buy, it's going to be the better, just because that money's going to stay in your local state, and that's going to really help grow the state and everything like that.
Yeah, it's not a lack of consumers. It's a lack of marketing and delivering to the consumers in a way that's convenient and appropriate for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the more of that you build,
I've got a good buddy who has a small feedlot that's probably 20 miles from the house, and he's an old school farmer, has a flip phone, and he thinks Facebook is from the devil. and I said, Scott, you know, you're gonna sell your beef to your select customers that probably have a flip phone and you memorize their number. But I said, there's so many other people who have a Facebook that got to eat too. I said, I'll get them and you get yours. And I said, we're just going to all be one big happy family.
Chuck, so, I mean, so even from just talking to you a little bit, I know that you told me to reach out to your buddy Jared Cole, who's doing kind of the same thing you're doing with beef. You know, he's doing it with pork. Did he kind of start that after you guys were up and going, or?
Yeah, so Jared, he's actually one of my my best friend, and then also we partner on a bunch of cattle together and stuff, and he's actually our feed guy. So it's funny because Jared is like a dietitian, and he knows like anything and everything that an animal should eat and like how much to give them and this and that. And so he's like, he's a scientist when it comes to feed. But he reached out to me, and he's always kind of been a farmer, a pig and cow guy. And he said, you know, we kind of been kicking around the idea of doing pork. And I pushed him to do it as much as I could, just because I figured if Swisher Beef Co. has beef and then J. Cole Livestock has pork, then like we can almost control a section of the market, you know. And like whenever people come and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we wish you guys had pork, we'd buy some pork. And well, now I can say, hey, Jared Cole is our business partner, he's one of our best pals, why not just call him? And he sells his pork just exactly like we sell our beef, you know. So we kind of have the same model of business and everything. And so it's kind of we're almost turning into a one-stop shop. If we could get a crazy chicken lady and maybe somebody who can feed and butcher goats, you know, we might kind of have the whole end tied up. But
that's awesome.
Maybe some goat milk.
Yeah, exactly.
I like now, it. Goat and chicken milk. I think you should try to market some chicken milk as well.
Chicken milk, yeah. Jared, he started probably 6 months or a year ago, and obviously it's blown up for him too. And he's just as busy as we are with the beef. And a big shout out to Jared because he might actually be at our house right now feeding the steers for us.
Oh, doing your work for you too.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good man. Thankfully, we got a good buddy that has a real job back home that likes to feed animals, so it works out really well for us.
That's funny because the guys that I got helping on my ranch are gone every weekend doing what you're doing, and I'm just thinking to myself, I need one of these guys
so I can go
on the weekend sometimes too. Man, I'm excited to see where Swisher Beef Co. goes. It sounds like sky's the limit. You seem like a really savvy businessman. And a lot of common sense for a bullfighter. You know, a bullfighter's kind of get the reputation for not being the smartest, but you seem to be breaking down some barriers here. I'm impressed, Mr. Swisher.
I think my deal is I've just got a few years on everybody else, so I've seen how it was in the past, and I can kind of see how it is going to be in the future, and I know that before too long, these bulls are going to be able to outrun me, so I better have that backup plan set up and ready whenever.
Good idea. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when on that, huh?
Yep, exactly.
All good things come to an end, and fortunately, it looks like you got a long time yet, but I'm pretty sure when your career does end, you're going to go down as one of the best in the business in the bullfighting. So let's transition back to bullfighting a little bit. Gus, you got anything else in the cattle side?
No. I'm anxious to pick his brain a little bit. I texted Brent, and I said, man, we're going to have Chuck on the podcast. What should I ask him? And obviously, you know, Swisher Beef Co. And I said, well, okay, well, how about bullfighting? And he was like, well, you know, Chuck, what's been some of your biggest takeaways from, you know, just starting out from being new in the game and fighting, you know, amateur deals, as opposed to now you're fighting shows like Houston, you know, some of the biggest stages in the industry.
The biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd say one thing is just don't ever take anything for granted, you know, whether it's a small amateur rodeo or a rodeo Houston or San Antonio or whatever, you know, just go in with a great mindset on everything and just have fun, just because this lifestyle, this career choice can end in an instant. And obviously there for the last 3-4 months, it kind of has for a lot of us. But, you know, just take advantage of every opportunity. And what I really love about it too is just all the families that we have around the United States. You know, there's so many states that I could drive to, and I know 20 different people in, and I know that they would let me come stay at their house for a couple of weeks if I needed to, or vice versa. So it's really cool to see just the family camaraderie of everybody that's coming together rodeo wise and willing to help each other out. So just take advantage of every opportunity. And you know, it's one of those sports that's obviously too dangerous just to do just for fun. So you gotta be pretty serious about it, but also you gotta have fun, you know. But
for sure,
just go in with a good attitude and enjoy it.
Man, it's funny you say that, because I remember. I lived with Nate Morrison for quite a while, a couple summers ago, and I remember seeing a picture of you and Tuck sitting at his brother's house at Nick Morrison's house.
And
sitting in the hot tub, and it's funny how worlds collide like that. I was pretty tickled to just be in a circle like that and be able to you know, and professional sports is so funny, because you know, if you look at Major League Baseball, for instance, you can't reach out to those guys like you can people in the rodeo industry, and it's such a unique thing to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly, man.
So Gus moved out here to train with Justin Ward. I'm sure you're familiar with Justin. He's a professional bullfighter, and he's a freak trainer and working out guy, and that's one of the reasons he's so good. Run us down a little bit what your training regimen is. What do you do? Anything unique and special?
So I don't know. I love to work out and I love to lift. There for a while I was lifting way too heavy, and had a bull run over me to make me realize that being able to bench press 200 to 300 pounds and squat 400 pounds really isn't ideal for a bullfighter. You know, it's really cool to say that you could do that, but
not what you need.
yeah, when you're not quick and nimble, it don't really work. But like for me, for a regular day, you know, we'll wake up and we'll have a good breakfast, let it digest, and then we'll go to the gym and we'll do some sort of CrossFit style training, kind of a lower weight, but move around is quite a bit faster than a regular, like just a bro sesh at the gym. And also, like we've got mountain bikes, and being up here in Utah, there's mountains everywhere, and even small hills with the altitude, you know, kind of equals a good run back home. So I just try to be as adventurous as possible, you know, take advantage of the opportunity while we're up in the mountains and go hiking, camping and fishing, and just being outside, just because I know back home it's hot as crap right now. So we're going to soak up this 65 degree weather as much as we can.
You bet. So little advice from a retired bull rider. You're talking about your family on the road, your rodeo family. You're talking about exploring. And that's one of the things that I miss most about rodeo. And I used to ride bulls for a living. And when you retire, you miss being on the road with your bros. You miss those family members. And so yeah, just like you're saying, don't take it for granted. Appreciate it, because that's the things you're going to really miss. And it sounds like you're really doing that, and that's awesome.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah, it was funny. The last few weeks before we kind of got fired back up with some rodeos, my wife, she's like, Chuck, you need to, it's about time for you to go somewhere. She said, you're either going to have to go somewhere or I'm going to have to go somewhere. She said, you can tell just how much you've been cooped up at home and how it's kind of affecting you, and you kind of need to get back out on the road a little bit. I was like, yeah, you're telling me.
And just to expand on that a little bit, and the importance of you doing what you're doing with Swisher Beef, you know, I got a lot of, not a lot, but some of the guys that I rode with, like even in the PBR, well, especially the guys I rode with in the PBR, they didn't have things when they retired. So now you take these guys that have been living a life every weekend of adrenaline and celebration and just highly active. It's almost, it's a drug. It's an addictive drug.
Yeah.
And so now you quit. Now you don't have that in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have something to replace that with family, with Swisher Beef Co., with music, with whatever it is, some of these guys turned to drugs and really almost died and really went through some bad times. So that's the importance of living the life you live, but being prepared to transition into life. Because it's hard. I'm here to tell you, it's hard.
Yeah. And that's what I tell every young kid growing up. I tell them to make sure that they've got a plan B in mind. So whenever rodeo does end, you know, it's not like a hurry up and scramble trying to figure out how to feed the family. It's a, hey, like, we're just going to go back home and keep doing what we've been doing, just minus the rodeo, because we've already got plan B set up. And that was another reason why I started Swisher Beef Co., is because I didn't want to end rodeo and then be like, oh crap, now what do I do? You know, do I get a job at McDonald's? Am I flipping burgers or working at Walmart? You know, like, what am I going to do? And so I was like, let's take advantage of the time at home and get some stuff set up and be prepared for whenever rodeo does end.
Good call. So what's next? What's the rest of your year looking like? And what's your goals?
So this year is all kind of up in the air, really, for rodeo-wise. Well, we go to Oakley this week. Then we go back home to Oklahoma. We're actually going to go to Florida for a little vacation, since we usually don't get to vacation outside of rodeo in July. And then August, we should be cooking back up with full schedule rodeos from August till end of October, and get all that stuff lined up and ready. And then goals this year, just to get better every day in the arena, better every day outside of the arena, and just keep progressing, keep growing, and keep moving forward.
Professional bullfighter looking to improve. I love that attitude. Very cool, very cool. Well, Chuck Swisher, it is an honor to have you on Rodeo Rock Radio. It's an honor to get to talk to you. Thank you for being inspirational. Thank you for all you do. Gus, you got anything else for Chuck?
No, man. I think that's about it. Have fun in Oakley, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
Keep watching the Cowboy Channel. You're going to see Chuck Swisher on TV a lot. Hopefully we'll see him at the NFR again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really awesome.
Chuck, good luck to you, buddy. Thanks again for joining us. Hang on the phone line. We're going to play a song here, and we're going to be back with a little bit more Rodeo Rock Radio in just a second.
guess your dad didn't like me much. Your brother Jay, I still like to punch. It's just as well I ain't a fighter anyway. Those days you were taking and playing, I was playing a game I'd never win. Cruising and losing my mind, wondering how I lost my way. And I thank God you're the one that got away. Screaming, but your mouth is silent. I'm not your shrinking, you ain't my client. I'm falling off of my 12-step plan to.
Hello, my name is Jason Johnson, founder of Project Canine Hero. We are honored to be partnered with Rodeo Rock Radio, who supports our mission in taking care of police canines and military working dogs with medical care, food, and death benefit assistance in their retirement. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Project Canine Hero, or check out our website at projectcaninehero.org to learn more about our goal of protecting those who protected us.
Rodeo Rock Radio, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Chuck Swisher, for joining us on the program. That was awesome. Good luck to you. If you are looking for some rodeos to attend, there's a lot of them going on. Check your local area, or if you're in North Dakota, make sure to get to Mandan or Killdeer.
It's going to be, man, it's going to be some good rodeoing.
Don't forget about the free Breaking 8 concert, 6 o'clock, July 2nd in Mandan. It's going to be also freaking awesome. Gus Kronberg, what do you got? Take us out.
Man, well, you kind of put me on the spot here.
Well, yeah, that's what I do.
I don't know. We got some bulls to turn out. I know that.
Let's get to it. Everybody, you guys have a safe week. Have a happy Independence Day weekend. A happy 4th of July. Don't forget to respect the flag.
That's right.
Don't forget to sing loud for the national anthem.
Have a little respect for yourself, too. I mean, if don't be getting too inebriated. Yeah, enjoy it, but
hey, good words.
But be careful.
Stay safe out there. Have fun, but stay safe. Respect our military. Respect our country. Respect the flag. Respect yourself.
That's right,
guys. Peace out.